So this week, the president announces that the troops are being sent home from Iraq this year. Immediately, Rick Perry, Mitt Romney, and John McCain put out statements of what a cowardly, terrible action this is on the part of the president. Except the president is doing exactly what George W. Bush set in motion 5 years ago. Do you remember the speech where he announced that troops would be out of Iraq by the end of 2011? That was agreed with the government? Well, you probably don't remember the speech, but you will remember that it was the speech that the guy got up and threw the shoe at Bush. That's when he made this announcement. So, in other words, the Republicans, the right-wingers, are attacking the president for doing what their hero, GW, set in motion. Doesn't it figure? Doesn't it figure? Can't do anything right. And at the same time, we have the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Across the World movement going on. At first, for the first couple of weeks, the Occupy movement in Wall Street was completely ignored. There was no media coverage about it at all, because I guess they figured it would just go away. Then eventually coverage began to start. They actually blocked the Brooklyn Bridge, and there were 700 arrests. And suddenly there was some attention paid to these people. Of course, they're getting bad-mouthed. And they're being told that they have no focus. And as a result, now Fox News, for instance, is going out of their way to say that these people are totally incoherent and that they have no point whatsoever. So what I have here is a brief piece of audio that was not aired on Fox News, but was actually recorded by Fox News. I get this from Salon.com. And here is a protester that they interviewed. Now, they're saying that these people are completely incoherent and they have no points to make. Well, that's because they cherry pick. They're looking for people who say, we want to destroy capitalism. But they won't listen to somebody who talks like this.
How would it be?
Difficult to kind of answer questions leading to those conclusions. I'd say that we didn't take our cue off of anybody, really. It became a more spontaneous movement. As far as seeing this end, I wouldn't like to see it end. I'd like to see the conversation continue. This is what we should have been talking about after 2008 when the economy collapsed. We basically patched a hole on the tire and said, yeah, let the car keep rolling. Unfortunately, it's fun to talk to the propaganda machine in the media, especially conservative leading networks such as yourself, because we find that we can't get conversations on the Department of Justice's ongoing investigation of News Corporation, for which you are an employee, but we can certainly ask questions like, you know, why are the poor engaging in class warfare? And after 30 years of having our living standards decrease while the wealthiest 1% have had it better than ever, I think it's time for maybe, I don't know, some participation in our democracy that isn't funded by news cameras and gentlemen such as yourself.
Okay, but let me give you this challenge, Jesse.
Sure.
We're here giving you an opportunity on the record with Credit Ancestry to put any message you want out there, give you fair coverage, and I'm not going to in any way
advise
about it. So there is an exception to the case because you wouldn't be able to get your message out without us, yes?
No, certainly. I mean, take for instance when Glenn Beck was doing his protest and he called the president a person who hates white people and white culture. That was a low moment in America's history, and you guys kind of had a big part in it. So I'm glad to see you coming around and kind of paying attention with the other 99% of Americans are paying attention to, as opposed to the far-right fringe who would love to just destroy the middle class entirely.
All right, fair enough. You have a voice and an important reason to criticize myself, my company, and anyone else. But let me ask you this. In fairness, does this administration or President Obama have any criticism as to the financial situation in the country?
I think myself, as well as many other people, would like to see a little bit more economic justice or social justice, Jesus stuff, as far as feeding the poor, health care for the sick. You know, I find it really entertaining that people like to hold the Bill of Rights up while they're screaming at gay soldiers, but they just can't wrap their heads around the idea that a for-profit healthcare system doesn't work. So let's just look at it like this. If we want the president to do more, let's talk to him on a level that actually reaches people, instead of asking for his birth certificate and wasting time with total nonsense like cilantro.
Yeah, they're completely incoherent. They make no sense whatsoever. Oy. This is the weekly news and review from killradio.org and from the harpers.org website. I get it as an email, and you can too if you just go to harpers.org. It's a good source for news and gives us a good summary of the week. This is the news of the preceding week. Libyan forces shot and killed deposed leader Muammar Gaddafi after finding him hidden in a drainage pipe in Sirte. Upon being discovered, Gaddafi reportedly raised his hands and begged, "Don't kill me, my sons." Video footage showed him being taunted, beaten, and sodomized with a weapon, possibly after he had been shot in the head and stomach. His body was mounted on a truck and paraded around Misrata before it was placed in a shopping center freezer. Crowds said, "We want to see the dog," as they lined up to view the corpse. Now do you understand why Osama bin Laden's body was dumped into the ocean as soon as he was killed? Now do you see what happens if you let things get out of control where they are? I mean, the video that I saw of Gaddafi with the rebel forces was horrible. The guy's head was completely covered in blood. He was wiping blood from his eyes. And then he was surrounded by a crowd. The next image was of him lying dead on the street. Yeah. I don't think that's a proud moment for anybody. "The dark shadow of tyranny has been lifted," said President Barack Obama. And Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said, "Wow." Obama announced that U.S. troops would withdraw from Iraq by the end of the year, and Turkish troops crossed into Iraq in search of Kurds. In eastern Turkey, Kurdish fighters killed 24 Turkish soldiers. Turkish soldiers killed 49 Kurdish fighters. And an earthquake killed more than 250 people. Hamas freed Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit in exchange for 1,027 Palestinian prisoners. Shalit, whose captivity had lasted 5 years, was interviewed on Egyptian TV immediately after his release, prompting outrage from Israelis who said he looked exhausted and extremely pale. In Nigeria, government forces hunted the militant Islamist group Boko Haram after it killed a TV journalist and an MP and bombed a police station. And in San Francisco, MC Hammer launched WireDo, a new deep search engine. "Generalities," said Hammer, "tend to not be the wave of the future." A boxing glove-shaped gold nugget worth $424,000 was discovered in Russia. Occupy Wall Street said that it had raised $300,000 in donations. Communist Party USA and the American Nazi Party announced their support for the Occupy movement. And zombies and witches fought for economic turf in Salem, Massachusetts. Bank of America shifted $55 trillion worth of Merrill Lynch derivatives to its retail bank unit, where they could be insured by U.S. taxpayers through the FDIC. $55 trillion? Unwarranted self-praise was found to lead to depression. And a military care package consisting of two boxes of Bill O'Reilly's book, Pinheads and Patriots, was set on fire in Afghanistan on orders from a unit commander. I won't say I didn't take pleasure in removing a few copies of this bigoted twerp's writings from circulation, the soldier who burned the books wrote on his blog, Everqueer. But the reason for doing so was military necessity. Three U.S. Marines were imprisoned in San Diego for entering into fraudulent heterosexual marriages to get housing allowance money for one of the Marines and her female partner. And American researchers demonstrated that people with strong physiological responses to unpleasant images, such as a man eating live worms, are more likely to oppose gay marriage. Christian Louboutin fought Yves Saint Laurent over red-soled shoes, and Patrizia Reggiani, who has been in prison 13 years for contracting the murder of her ex-husband, the heir to the Gucci fortune, turned down work release, telling an Italian court, "I've never worked in my life." Reggiani said she would prefer to live in her cell, which she shares with other prisoners, two evergreens, and a replacement ferret for her first, Bambi, who was hanged. "Living with her cellmates is not easy," said her lawyer. A Zanesville, Ohio man freed 56 exotic animals from his private zoo and then committed suicide. As townspeople hid indoors, deputies captured or shot lions and tigers and bears. "There was a loss of life here, and we thank God it was not human life," said Columbus Zoo Director Emeritus Jack Hanna. "It was animal life, and that's my life." A herpetic macaque remained at large, but was presumed eaten by a big cat. All I keep thinking of is that there are something like 4,000 Bengal tigers left on Earth today, and 13 of them were in this zoo and were shot. 23 Swedish women aged 38 to 70 were convicted of possessing child pornography. The hacker collective Anonymous outed 1,500 pedophiles following a siege at Lolita City. And a hacker redirected video links on the Sesame Street YouTube channel to a clip from First Anal Quest Angelica. A California court dismissed a lawsuit brought by a former business partner of retired NBA player Shaquille O'Neal, which alleged that O'Neal had hired the Main Street Mafia Crips to kidnap the plaintiff in order to retrieve a sex tape. Researchers announced that junk food weakens young men's sperm, and that cell phones do not cause cancer. And journalists investigated the testicles of a 34-year-old Taiwanese woman and the 100-pound scrotum of Wesley Warren Jr., a Las Vegas man seeking donations for an operation to save his genitals. "It's not something people have seen before," said Warren. "I doubt they can even imagine it. 100-pound scrotum." Well, that's the news for this week. And I'm glad that we're finally getting out of Iraq. We should never have gone in the first place. Soon we'll be out of Afghanistan as well. And Occupy Wall Street isn't going anywhere. Pay attention. The revolution has begun. Listen to my musical program, The Chill Room, on Kill Radio on Friday nights at 11 p.m. And I'll be back next week with more news.